All right. Look at me, James. Let's turn over to the book of James. Remember a story I heard of a man who was going to visit a friend, and the friend had an artist friend, and she had a handkerchief that was beautiful. It was delicately sewn and ornately decorated. It was a beautiful handkerchief and had great sentimental value. It was just an important little piece of cloth that she had. An ink blot dropped on the handkerchief, seeming to ruin it. And it not only ruined it, it ruined something that was very precious to her. When the artist friend came, he asked to borrow it. He took it home, and from that, he used that ink blot as an origin point to create a beautiful design that greatly enhanced the handkerchief. And what was a mistake now became a mark of great beauty. In your life, and in my life, we will experience hardship, defeat, seeming defeat, struggle. Sometimes we're going to come across situations or we're going to reap decisions that we have made. Sometimes we're going to experience some pretty difficult circumstances in our Christian life. But James teaches a very, very deep and important point that God uses the trials, the deep struggles that you have to make your life richer and more beautiful. And as that stain of ink became a basis point for a greater work, so the trials in your life become a basis point for a deeper and more profound work in your life. Let's pray. Father, I pray now for your presence, for your help, and for your enablement. Father, I pray that you would help us to understand more deeply and fully your work in a trial. Lord, I feel this is so important. Lord, I pray that you'd help me to convey this. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, if you've been in church any length of time, you are familiar with the concept of trials. But really, I'm convinced that trials are something that we only give a surface consideration to. When we talk about trials, really, we do not fully grasp what the Bible is actually saying about a trial and how trials actually work. We just kind of rehearse some general concepts, but we don't really grab what's happening here. And I'll tell you why. Because if you do any counseling as a pastor, sometimes I talk to people who are in trials, who are going through deep struggle, and it amazes me how quickly they forget. And they usually come to the same point. When you get saved, God does a truly remarkable work in your life. The moment that you become a believer in Jesus Christ, the Spirit of God enters into you, and he begins to transform everything about you. I mean, you still have your own personality, but he begins to transform your entire person, and you become a person in this world who is literally lit up by the Spirit. You are different because of the work of the Spirit. And as soon as you veer off into sin, you know it, because the Spirit's there and it like doesn't work. The pleasure is so small and temporary, and now the Spirit who has illuminated you, now the Holy Spirit is grieved by the work in your life. As you grow in that walk with the Lord, you begin to read verses on providence, protection. You begin to read verses on how God will provide, how God will help, how God will comfort, how God will supply the needs that we have. And as you have this new life and these new concepts present in you and this new faith, we can begin to think that trials are abnormal, or trials and difficulties are something that's out of sort with God's will. Matter of fact, in prosperity preaching, oftentimes they teach that trials are a result of sin. In other words, you have trials because of sin. And that is just false. You can be right with God. Matter of fact, you can be very right with God. And you could be in the midst of a deep trial. Sometimes I meet believers. Can I say oftentimes? I meet believers who go through deep, deep struggle. And they always say the same thing when they get into the middle of the trial. Well, not always, but oftentimes they say, why did this happen to me? What did I do wrong? Why am I in this hard, hard place? What's going on with God? And why is this happening to me? It shows you that oftentimes we have the concept of a trial, but we don't really understand the nature of a trial in a deeper way. And tonight, I just want you to understand just a little bit more clearly, a little more fully, what are trials? How do they work? And I want you to kind of step away. There's a way that your mind works to where there's little synapses in your brain that when you hear something, it connects to what's familiar. So oftentimes, people who don't think deeply, they just think on a cursory level, on a light level. There's connecting synapses. They don't actually think about it. They're connecting it to something they already know, and it just goes like this. It doesn't actually get into their brain. So I want to do something different tonight. Think deeply about what the Bible's saying here. This is actually really rich. There's a very complete thought that is present here, that if we get it by faith, it can really, really help you and really help you to grow in your life. First thing to understand is trials are normal. They are universal. They are present with everyone and all through your life. John 16 and verse number 33. Turn there with me real quick. John chapter 16. John chapter 16 and verse number 33. These things have I spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. Not in the world, but in him, in your love and relationship, connection to Jesus Christ, in him, in what you have in him as you rest in him and seek him. In me you might have peace. In the world you shall have tribulation. But be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Could you say to yourself quietly, Daniel shall have tribulation. Put your name in there. Shall have tribulation. Shall have. Will have tribulation. Acts 14 and verse number 19. Acts chapter 14 and verse number 19. And there came thither certain Jews from Antioch and Iconium. These are cities in Greece. They persuaded the people, having stoned Paul. Literally, they put him in a pit or down a hill, and they threw stones at him, trying to kill him, and assumed they had killed him. Having stoned Paul, drew him out of the city, supposing he had been dead. Howbeit, as the disciples stood round about, he rose up and came into the city. And the next day he departed with Barnabas to Derbe. And when they had preached the gospel to that city and had taught many, they returned again to Lystra and to Iconium and Antioch, confirming the souls of the disciples and exhorting them to continue in the faith. Notice this next phrase. And that we must, through much tribulation, enter into the kingdom of God. So Paul's preaching in this little town called Lystra. And these Jews come from Iconium and Antioch. They come to harass him. They come to disturb him. They come really to kill him. Paul rises up after this horrendous experience of being stoned by the Jews, goes to the other cities, comes back through, and preaches to them. And when he comes back through, he preaches to them that we must, through incredible tribulation, enter into the kingdom of God. I'm telling you this evening that if you seek Christ and you follow him passionately, ardently, I mean, you are seeking him and living in obedience to him, you will be opposed. You will be confronted. There is a real devil. There are demons. You will fight with your own flesh. And on top of that, God will allow tribulation into your life to transform you. It is a part of the way that we live. As a matter of fact, you need trials. Have you ever heard how a giraffe is born? A giraffe has, you know what a giraffe is? It's got that really long neck, these really long spindly legs. When a giraffe gives birth, now I've not seen a YouTube video on it or whatever, I read it in a story, but when it gives birth, its head comes out first in these big hoofs, and then it falls 10 feet on its back onto the ground. It hits the ground, I imagine, with a thud, and this little giraffe rolls over, and it cleans that birthing fluid from its eyes and from its ear, and it begins to look around. About this time, Mama Giraffe comes over and stands over the baby and waits for about 30 seconds. And then the Mama Giraffe takes that big, long leg and hits that baby giraffe hard. She hits it hard. That baby giraffe goes sprawling, tumbling over and over. It's up, it shakes its head, it looks around. What in the world? That was my mom. It gave me that big smack. And it just starts to look around, and here comes Mama again. She stands over him. She waits about 30 seconds. And then comes that pig leg again and hits him. And he goes rolling again. He gets up and looks at her like, is she friend or foe? I mean, this little baby giraffe is really alert at this point. And the mama comes over to him, stands over him, 30 seconds. And by this point, he's trying to get up. He's trying to stand. He's got those wobbly legs. Hits him again. He goes tumbling. When he sees mama coming this time, he is really trying to stand up. He is really trying to get up off the ground on those wobbly legs. And just before mama gets there, he actually stands up. And you know what the mama giraffe does? She walks over and knocks his feet out from under him. And he's back on his back again. And then she stands over him, and he knows what's coming in 30 seconds. He knows in 30 seconds, if he is not on his feet, that he is going to get. And he is working like crazy to stand up. Do you know why mama does that? Because in the wild, there's hyenas. There's wild dogs. And there's lions. And those giraffes will form a circle. But that baby giraffe had better get up and get up quick so we can be protected by the other giraffes. And the mama knows that for the survival of her baby, she has to do that. She has to bring in that pain, that turmoil to her baby. For you to grow as a Christian, you have got to have those trials. As uncomfortable and as difficult and sometimes as misunderstood as they are, when we look at God and say, God, why have you allowed that? Can I say tonight that you will never be a Christian that you should be, that you could be, without the trials that come into your life? The Bible says in 1 Peter 6, turn there with me real quick. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 6. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse number 6. Wherein you greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, you are in heaviness through these manifold many trials and temptations. In other words, you're down. You're struggling, you're working, and you're just getting down because it seems like failure, it seems like opposition is all around you. And then he says in verse 7, the trial of your faith. You know that struggle that you have to do right, to obey, to really do the will of God, the work of God, that struggle, that hardness, that trial is more precious than gold, which perishes. There's a certain kind of tree called a ponderosa pine. How many of you have ever seen a Western movie? You know, the gunslingers out west in the U.S.? You see those Westerns. And you ever see those big trees, not the desert scenes, but kind of the mountain scenes, those big trees, those are ponderosa pines. Ponderosa pines do great as long as they're spread out. As if they're spread out, then the little pine, the little saplings that come up, have the room and the space to get down to the ground and they have sunlight. But if those pines get too close together, the saplings can't grow. They don't get the light. They don't get the moisture that they need. But another thing happens, which is really deadly. The ground becomes covered with old branches, wood, bark, pine needles, pine cones, and it starts to get really thick. Do you know what you need among ponderosa pines? By every 5 to 20 years, you need a good fire. It needs a fire. The forest needs a fire. And a fire where the trees are spread out, where there isn't that thick undergrowth, it's healthy. It'll burn up. It'll kind of be black on the first bit of it, but it doesn't kill the tree. And it kills all that other stuff on the ground. It's purifying. It actually helps the trees to grow. But if the trees are too close together, that stuff gets really, 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 really thick. And when there's a fire, that fire is deadly. It consumes a tree. Have you ever seen video where there's this fire shooting 30, 40, 60 feet into the air? What it's doing is it's destroying the forest. It kills the crown of the tree. The tree is completely consumed. And it may take hundreds of years for that forest to grow back because erosion will actually wash it away. Trials in your life have a way of burning off the impurity. Sometimes in our life we get a way of thinking. We get a certain sense of approach, a certain way that we approach life. And when we do, you know, a trial has a way of reorienting you. It actually makes you more pure. It burns off the dross. It helps you to see things. It helps you to approach God in a fresh and powerful way. That's why the Bible says it's more precious than gold. It burns the things that won't be burned any other way. Look with me at Romans chapter 5 and verse number 3. Romans chapter 5 and verse number 3. Romans chapter 5 and verse number 3. I want you to see something here. In Romans chapter 5 and verse number 3, he begins to introduce a thought, a concept in trials. Trials are good for us. They're universal. They help us. They burn off the dross. They're custom designed by God. God will allow trials. He will bring trials into our life. But I want you to notice a really important point about a trial. And not only so, we glory in tribulations, that's trials, knowing that these tribulations, these times of struggle and difficulty, it brings about patience. Now, what is patience? Patience is simply persevering. And when you come to the Bible, there's two words for the word patience. In James chapter 1, he talks about patience. but also here and in other places we'll talk about patience. Patience is perseverance. There's two main Greek words to describe patience. One of them is makrothumia, which means that you decide to be tough. You decide to be kind of harden yourself a bit. You get into this trial, and okay, I'm gonna suck it up. I'm gonna push through it. I'm gonna make it. You know, you can kind of strengthen yourself. You ask God for the strength, and you push through it. But there's another word for trial that's used here in Romans 5:3 and also in James 1. It's hupomene. And this means that you go through the trial, but you go through the trial under. Literally, you go through the trial connected to God. So that as you go through a deep struggle and you go through a hard time, you're not walking away from God, you're holding on to God. There's a holding that never breaks. So as you are struggling to do the will of God, you are struggling to accomplish the purpose of God for your life. And as you're hanging tough with Him, and it's hard, and it's difficult, and it requires commitment, and it requires struggle, you are holding on to Him. That's hupomene. That's what patience is. It is the constancy, the steadfastness. It is not becoming insensible. It is not simply just closing your eyes, gritting your teeth, and saying, I'm there. I'm going to hold out. I'm going to get through this trial. No, it is very particular. You're in the trial. You're in the will of God. You're doing what God wants you to do, and you're connected. You're holding on. You're remaining under Him because you see and you know what He is doing in your life. Look at Romans 15 and verse number 5. Romans 15 and verse number 5. Now the God of patience. Look at that phrase, Romans 15 and verse 5. The God of patience. Does God need patience? Is God imperfect? Is there something God has to have? No, God is the source of patience. Now God, the source of patience and comfort, consolation, He grants you to be like-minded towards one another. So God gives patience. It's a spiritual gift. So as you begin to grow in your Christian life, God will sometimes put a test in front of you. Sometimes God will allow a challenge there that is kind of tough for you to get through. There's something that you have to do. I mean, this part of the will of God, it's kind of stretching you. Hey, sometimes you're in a ministry. Like some of us were helping in summer ministries, and it took our time. And we had to juggle the rest of life. We had to make it work. Sometimes we might be serving and loving another person, and God is pushing us to help them to grow. And as we go through these trials, God gives the grace and the strength to hupomene, hold Him, stay connected to Him, walk with Him when it's frustrating, walk with Him when you stumble, stay connected, stay with Him as you're going through that trial, stay with Him. That is what God produces in your life. So as you're in the trial, that sweet nectar, that valuable substance of patience, that biblical hupomene begins to be produced in your life. And it's produced for a very, very good reason. Because without that hupomene, you will never become the person, the man or the woman that God wants you to be. Look with me in Romans chapter 2 and verse number 7. Romans chapter 2 and verse number 7. To them who by patient hupomene, continuance in well-doing, they stay with God, they walk with Him, they seek His strength, they're in His will, they're submissive to Him, seek for glory and honor and immortality and eternal life. Romans 12:12 says, rejoicing in hope, hupomene, patient in tribulation. In other words, they're rejoicing, they're struggling, all at the same time, they're holding on to God in the middle of what He has allowed them to experience. Psalms 37 and verse number 7. Turn there with me real quick. Psalms chapter 37 and verse number 7. Psalms chapter 37 and verse 7. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. Cease from anger. Forsake wrath. Fret not thyself in any wise to do or return evil. For evildoers shall be cut off, but those that wait upon the Lord shall inherit the earth. Back in James chapter 1, turn there with me real quick. James chapter 1. I want you to notice a phrase here. James chapter 1 and verse number 2. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into these deep struggles and trials in your life, knowing this, the trying of your faith is something God uses to develop deeper patience. Do you know why this is important? This is like foundational to your growth. This is a really crucial part of how you grow. When you get into a trial, you become stressed. In other words, you're not cruising. You're in a trial. You're struggling. You're hitting something. You can't quite get through it. There's a hardness that's going on there. In the middle of that, as you stay with God, he's going to give you that patience, that ability to hold on to him, to look to him, to see him. What's actually happening is that hupomene, when that's there, that patience is there, God begins to get out the chisel. He gets out the sandpaper and he begins to form you. He begins to reshape you. He begins to build you. And throughout your life, God has these struggles and he knows which ones they are and exactly what they are. He knows there's one here and there's one here and there's one here. And there's one here. And he knows on this one, he's going to chisel this off a little bit. And he's going to make you a little bit more like Christ. And over here, he's going to get this out, a little bit of sandpaper out. And he's going to make you into the image of Christ. Do you know what makes all that work? The hupomene, the biblical patience. So that as you're in these trials and you stay true to him, and you walk with him, and you serve him, that's why if you're in a trial and you give up, if you're in a trial and it's hard and you just say, I'll just ignore this part of my life. I'll just kind of bear this. I'll just kind of not really deal with this. Or you just kind of can't wait, gritting your teeth to get out of this thing. And you're just kind of bitter because of this thing. You've missed it. The trial then becomes irrelevant. It's of no use. It's only as you're looking to him and trusting him and loving him in the midst of the trial, you're looking into your Father's face, you're remaining under hupomene, God does a supernatural work. At that moment, at that point, he begins to transform you. So sometimes God will allow difficulty into your life. You know, sometimes we talk about tithing a bit and things like that. I'm not going to go on about it, but sometimes, believers, they never grow because God, he's going to deal with them. And he's going to teach them to trust him. That he's going to teach them to put him first in their finance. And sometimes they'll go through a struggle. And when they go through that struggle, if they walk away from it, and they don't stay true, they don't put him first in it, they don't hupomene, they miss the teaching, the reforming, the reshaping that is going on in their life. There's 100 other things. As a parent, there's a way that God wants you to raise your children. He wants you to do certain things. He wants you, and it's not easy, and it brings struggle. Sometimes it's a single person. There's a way that God wants you to go about finding a wife. And sometimes there's struggle, and sometimes it's hard, but there's things that he wants you to do. He's using that in your life. And when you walk away from it and you become resentful of it, and you don't walk with him through that, the trial's wasted. How many times have you been in a trial? Here's how you know it's true. One of the ways you know it's true. And the same trial comes to you again. And it comes to you again. And it comes to you again. God is teaching you. There's something he wants to do in your life in this area. There's an area here that's unsurrendered. There's a part of your life that's not given over to him. And he's dealing with you. And he's using that thing to shape you, to bring you into conformity to his will, to move you to a person who is truly godly, to becoming a truly spiritual, loving believer. The trials produce that patience in your life. And that's the reason that we can rejoice in them. Look back with me in James chapter 1. James chapter 1 and verse number 1. James chapter 1 and verse number 1. Verse 2. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into these deep temptations, knowing this, the trying of faith produces that precious substance of hupomene, of holding on to him. And when hupomene is there, God's transforming, God's rebuilding, God's making you to be the woman or the man that he wants you to be. So before you can become that person, you must hold on to him. There once was an oyster, whose story I tell, who found that sand had gotten under his shell. Just one little grain, but it gave much pain. For oysters have feelings, although they're so plain. Now did he berate the working of fate, which had led him to such a deplorable state? Did he curse the government, call for an election? No, as he lay on the shelf, he said to himself, if I cannot remove it, I shall improve it. So the years rolled by as they always do, and he became his ultimate destiny stew. And this small grain of sand, which had bothered him so, was a beautiful pearl, all richly aglow. Now this tale has a moral, for isn't it grand what an oyster can do with a morsel, a drop of sand? And what couldn't we do if we only begin with all of the things that get under our skin? My brethren, count, evaluate trials. Understand, think a little bit more deeply about what annoys you. That speck of sand that gets under your skin. Because that little piece of sand can someday become a pearl of great beauty and of great value. So evaluate the trial. Evaluate the struggle. And hold on to him, because God will give you that hupomene. And God, through that hupomene, as you stay connected and walk with him and obedient to him, you stay with him in that trial where things seem to be aligned against you. You stay with him through that opposition. You become transformed. You become the person he wants you to become. And therefore, the trial becomes a point of rejoicing. Rejoicing is not optional here. God says, evaluate and rejoice. Because that gives you the right attitude. It's important in a trial that if you don't have the right attitude, then you won't have the right result. You go into the trial saying, okay, God, I know that you are in control. And God, I know the trials are universal. I know I have them. I know everybody else has them. And I know they're going to be through my life. And I know that you're going to use them. Matter of fact, I know that the trial is going to be the thing that helps me to grow, the thing that helps me to become deeper and stronger as a believer. It's so true. In your life, it is the trials that are rightly handled. It's those hard things that you stay true to God and you walk with him, you remain under him. God will change you in that trial. Nothing will change you like that trial. Nothing. That trial is absolutely pivotal. pivotal in importance in your life. That's why it is so important to understand that God allows trials. He will bring them. He will allow them. And he will do it in your tomorrow. They will be there. And they're there for a reason. There's something that he's teaching you. There's something that he wants for you to get right, get changed, get corrected, altered. He's going to get that chisel out, and he's going to move you around in that trial. That's exactly where he wants you to be, because that's how you become that godly man, that woman of great honor and great virtue. And that's why you can say, we know all things, not everything is good, but all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called, who are in his will according to his purpose. So in your life, though you're saved, protected, and provided for, it does not mean it's a free pass to be exempt from trials. The trials will come. It's what am I going to do? It's what are we going to do with these trials that come into our life? Are we going to recognize their true value and their true importance? And are we going to trust him, to walk with him, to hubamine, remain under, to remain faithful and true to him in the midst of that trial, so that he can produce that beautiful new character, a character that has been shaped, it's sharp, it's beautiful, it's awesome. It's through that trial and that biblical hubamine, that patience that has been produced in your life. And all you have to do is hold on and trust him for the trial. It is the way to completeness in your life. Let's pray. The heads bowed and our eyes closed for just a moment. Listen, all of us are going to have different trials. For some, there might be a trial that maybe we don't want to talk about. They're various. They're particularly suited for you. And God knows he is in your tomorrow. He is in your life, in your situation. He knows exactly where you're at, exactly what you're facing. And he knows what you need. And he's going to let that trial hang there. He's going to let it be in your life because he wants to do something. Are you going to hold on to him in the midst of that trial? Are you going to continue looking to him, continue trusting him, loving him, hoping in him through the trial? Continue walking with him and rejoicing in that trial, because we know that that work is the way that we are transformed. It's that thing that makes us stronger and more complete and more whole in our life. Oh, I pray tonight we would think a little bit more deeply about these trials God brings, because they are a very important part of the way that we grow.